Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Hand. Today is Friday, February 17th, 2017. It's our final episode of the week as we wrap things up. We'll be back next week. We're here every week with episodes Monday through Friday. So today is just going to be a little bit of a mini episode, like super quick, because right now it's about 11, getting ready for my sister's wedding, so I got to leave the hotel around noon. So I'm just going to do a little bit of a talk about the upcoming All-Star weekend, and then I guess we'll talk a little more next week when the Clippers are about to get ready to play, and we can talk about, I guess, what happened over All-Star weekend, how DeAndre Jordan did. Obviously, DeAndre Jordan participating in his first slam dunk contest tomorrow night. You don't want to miss that, especially because Aaron Gordon is back in it, and Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine put on, like, one of the most fun dunk contests in recent history last year. Zach LaVine is out, and he's actually injured, so even if he had wanted to participate, he wouldn't be participating. But Aaron Gordon is there. It'll be exciting. DeAndre is there, so that'll be fun. I think the dunk contest is back. It's been back for the last couple of years, so that should be exciting. The Clippers don't have anyone in the three-point shootout, which, it would be cool if they did. It would be cool if Mo Spates was there, I think. I don't think J.J. Redick wants to do it again after doing it a couple of times, and, you know, he's got the kids at home now. And then, again, obviously DeAndre Jordan in his first ever NBA All-Star game on Sunday. He'll be the only Clipper there. The first time he's made it in his career, and the first time in like 8,000 years that Chris Paul and Blake Griffin haven't been there, except for when Blake was injured last season. So I guess it's Blake's second year in a row not being there after being there forever. Chris has been there, like, I think every year that he's been a Clipper, he's been chosen an All-Star. It's actually kind of weird that he wasn't chosen one this year, even though he obviously wouldn't have been able to play. I thought they would select him and then select an injury replacement, but whatever, it's not a big deal. But yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I think definitely go watch DJ. I'm not a huge All-Star Weekend person myself, but I will watch for our guys, even though it's only DJ this year. But I think it'll be fun. And yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to talk about. I don't want to be the guy who, like, overanalyzes the dunk contest entrance. It's just not... it's not really my scene. But what I will get into a little bit is some mid-season grades, even though it's like really more like two-thirds of the way through the season. But people tend to view the All-Star break as halfway, even though it's not. Maybe it's halfway when people start paying attention. You know, they say most NBA fans don't really pay attention until like Christmas. Well, I guess we're kind of halfway from Christmas. We're, you know, roughly in that range. So if you ignored the first 30 games, now we're halfway through the season. But so we're talking about some on Clips Nation. We are doing some roundtable grades of some of the guys. I think the ones that are up so far are Diamond Stone, Bryce Johnson, Wesley Johnson, Austin Rivers, Luke Mbamute, and JJ Redick. Those are the guys who are up so far, but all the players are going to be coming out over the course of All-Star weekend and the beginning of next week. So definitely check that out. I'm not sure if the way we do set up these articles is they're like round tables. So we'll send out an email to some of our writers, guys who do game recaps, columns, news stuff for us on the Clips Nation site, and they'll send back just, you know, B plus, he's played well this year. C minus, I'm disappointed. Whatever. And we compile, you know, like 3 or 5 or 7 different writers with like 1 paragraph each about the players. And then we encourage people in the comments to leave what they think too. And what, you know, kind of is a good place to start a discussion that isn't Jamal sucked last night. No, Jamal was great last night. Instead, we're kind of talking about a larger scope. So I enjoy these. I think it's fun. I definitely like I normally like to do these articles myself, but because I'm here with my family this weekend at my sister's wedding, I delegated to one of my editors, Robert Flom, who's doing a great job with that, and he's going to be kind of leading the team through most of the All-Star coverage this weekend. So should definitely tune in to what he's offering on Clips Nation, and you can check him out at Rich Homie Flom on Twitter. So I guess I'll just chat about a couple of what I think about some of these grades, and then that'll be that for like a quick episode again, because I'm short on time, but I didn't want to just leave you guys with no Friday episode this week. So the first one that I think kind of stuck out to me was that on Wesley Johnson's, pretty much everyone gave him C's. C, C, C plus, C minus, C. That was surprising to me. I would not give Wesley Johnson a C this season. Now it's funny, last year Wesley Johnson was way better than this year. And last year he was on a minimum salary. So last year I would have given him like a B plus, because you got a minimum salary guy who's being a solid end of rotation contributor off the bench, like a 9th or 10th man. Very good. Awesome. For the minimum salary, awesome. This year, they gave him 3 years and $18 million, and he's played himself essentially out of the rotation, where he's competing for minutes to be like the number 10 guy with Allen Anderson and Brandon Bass, and Brandon Bass has probably been better than him this year, although Wesley Johnson has played better defense. Brandon Bass has definitely made a bigger impact. So without using too much recency bias, because Wesley had his best game of the season Wednesday against the Atlanta Hawks, I would give Wesley like a D or a D minus. I think when you give a guy $18 million and he comes in and plays himself out of the rotation halfway through the first season of that 3-year deal, that's a disappointment. And you got to, you know, when a guy lets you down, you have to be willing to give a bad grade in these roundtables, even though I think we're all pulling for Wesley. That's what he's done so far this year. Austin Rivers, you got A minus, B plus, B plus, A, B plus, A minus. So we seem to pretty much agree. Everyone's happy with Austin Rivers, although a few of the writers have some holdbacks, which is why we're keeping him at B pluses and A minuses and only one A in the group. I would agree with that. I wouldn't give him a full-on A just because he still obviously has weaknesses. Although I don't expect him to be a perfect player, you know, you really have to go earn that A. And he, you know, for his price tag, I guess I'd probably go A minus. I don't want to be too harsh on him because he's had big games and he's helped the Clippers win games and he's been consistently good all year. I don't want to hold against him too much the low assists and high turnovers, because I don't think he's a point guard. And I think he's been playing point guard recently because the Clippers have had those 2 injuries to Chris Paul. But I don't think he's a point guard, and normally he's playing shooting guard and small forward, and he's been better at those positions. And even then, at small forward, he's so undersized that it's impressive for him to put up the production that he does. I think the main reason that I would hold him back, if not for the fact that he's not a great passer, the main reason I am holding him back is that I feel like last year, when he wasn't as much of a weapon offensively, he was much more of a gritty, engaged, high, you know, active defender. And this year, because he's doing so much more on the offensive end, I think his defense has taken a step back. And again, I think it's totally fair that you add a huge offensive workload and obviously your defense is going to take a step back, especially because he's been, you know, for stretches of games and for whole games and for like that 6-game stretch or 8-game stretch, whatever it was in December and January when Chris Paul and Blake Griffin were out, Austin Rivers is he's like the team's featured offensive star. And it's not because his daddy's the coach, it's because he's the team's best isolation, you know, creative offensive player, J.J. Redick doesn't really create for himself. So it comes down to Austin a lot. So then we move on to Diamond Stone and Bryce Johnson. I think both guys you've got to give incompletes. I'm not ready to give Diamond credit for his big D-League games or hold it against him that he's having trouble rebounding and he's fouling too much. He's a project big. And we didn't expect him to be anything this year. And we knew from just watching the Summer League that he didn't have the strength to compete in the post and on the glass against NBA-level bigs. Like, fringe NBA-level bigs are still big physical guys, even if they're not skilled. And he wasn't. He just wasn't strong enough. And so I think you need more than 22 minutes on the Clippers and some D-League box scores to determine how he's progressing. And I think you also need more than half a season to give him time to progress. So as far as I'm concerned, Diamond Stone, like, you know, he's not in school yet. So he doesn't get a grade. Bryce Johnson, I guess you give an incomplete too because he's been hurt. It's definitely been disappointing that he hasn't played, although that's not his fault at all. It's not his fault that he's been injured, that he's had that back problem. But it has been disappointing, I think. Everyone was excited to see him. Everyone was excited, you know, to have another Clippers get another chance in the draft because they've had some disappointments lately. And so for him to be hurt, it's been frustrating and it sucks. And I'm sure it's frustrating and sucks for him. But again, can't really give a grade to those two guys. Luke and Mbamute, I'm going to give an A too. And it's funny because Luke hasn't played as individually well as Austin has this year. But you look at like salary and expectations, Luke has been amazing. He stepped up his three-point shooting. He makes smart decisions on offense. He's become more confident, which means he makes mistakes now, which is great because before Luke would drive to the rim 0 times per game, even when he was open. Now he drives to the rim 4 times per game, and he gets blocked once and he misses once and he scores twice. And that's better than not doing it at all because now the defense is respecting him a little bit. It's the same thing with the three-pointer. He's shooting 39% from deep this season. That doesn't mean he's better than a guy like Raymond Felton, who I think is shooting like 36%. But Luke is really refining his shots. He's taking open corner threes. He's forcing the defense to respect him by hitting them. That's all he has to do. And then on defense, he's been obviously spectacular. You know, the guy that we know he is on defense as one of the best defenders in the NBA. The last guy that they've gotten to so far on Clips Nation for the roundtable grades is J.J. Redick. J.J.'s a tough one for me to grade. His shooting is down from last year, but it was going to be down from last year. I don't think anyone expected it to go up. And then Chris Paul has missed so much time this year, and so much of J.J. is like the yin to Chris Paul's yang. And Chris Paul obviously can exist fine by himself without J.J., but J.J. really, really struggles without Chris Paul. So that's why I think it's hard to give J.J. a grade, because nothing he really does is as an individual player. A lot of the other guys consider, you know, Wesley Johnson, it's easier to isolate what he does from the rest of the team. Even though it's based on help defense, mostly for Wesley, it's easy to isolate. It's easy to isolate what Austin does from the rest of the team and what Luke does from the rest of the team. J.J., it's so much based on Chris. But I think I guess I'd give him like a B+, A-, depending on where I, you know, is Professor Lucas in a good mood today or is he grumpy? Do I give him the bump or not? And that seems to be where Clips Nation generally is. A-, B, A-, B+, B-. So, yeah, I think that's more or less fair. I think maybe the bigger concern actually would be that J.J. has always struggled against big guards. He's a little undersized, and at 6'4", you can be a shooting guard at 6'4", but normally those 6'4 guards are a little more athletic, a little lengthier than J.J. So I think he's always struggled against bigger guards when he goes up against like a 6'7 shooting guard like Klay Thompson. But I think it's actually been worse this season. So that worries you as he ages and enters free agency this summer. You know, where are you with J.J.? If you give him a 3-year deal, is he going to be a starting caliber shooting guard for 3 more years? Is he going to be a starting caliber shooting guard next year? The year after? You know, where do you draw that line where you go, okay, this guy, what he brings us on shooting, which is amazing and unparalleled, and I love J.J. Redick to death. What point does what he brings us at that end of the floor not outweigh what he doesn't bring us as far as an offensive creator, a defensive wing, all the other things that you'd look for at the shooting guard position, especially with a small and relatively injury-prone point guard like Chris Paul. So that's it. That's, you know, quick episode, and we actually went even longer than I intended to. But as always, hit me up on Twitter at Lucas J. Han, at Clips Nation SBN. We'll be tweeting all about the All-Star stuff this weekend, even if I'm not available. ClipsNation.com for all your All-Star coverage. At Rich Homie Flom is going to be temporarily running the show this weekend, dealing with all the All-Star stuff. And obviously, Clips Nation is going to be on top of all the trade rumors. I won't be back until Monday, maybe Tuesday, because I'm flying out at midnight on Monday, Monday morning. So I don't know exactly when I would be able to record the Monday morning's episode. So I might not have an episode until Tuesday for you. But so stay tuned on Twitter. I'll try to put a tweet out letting people know if there's going to be an episode or not. But other than that, you know, trade deadline's coming up. All-Star weekend's coming up. It's an exciting time. All-Star weekend should be a little more relaxed, hopefully. And then that, like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, going into, I believe, Thursday at 3 o'clock Eastern is the trade deadline. That's going to be chaos. Oh, so that's going to be really fun, really exciting, really crazy. And then we'll get into the backstretch of the season as the Clippers try to catch Houston for the 3 seed. I talked a little bit more about that on the last podcast. If you missed it, yesterday's episode, we talked a little bit more about the 3 seed. I got to run. I got to go get ready. But thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. If you like the show, please leave a review. And we'll be back next time. Thanks for listening. This is Lucas Han signing off for Locked On Clippers.